Good morning. My name is Steve, and I'll be reading God's Word for you. If you'd like to follow along, it's up on the screen. So in Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll be reading through some select verses. So starting at verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." We'll just skip down to verse 19 and through to 25. So from verse 19, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And so down to verse 35, through to the end of the chapter. "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved."
Well, good morning. My name's Peter Huxley, and Heather and I have been back here at Lismore and at Southern Cross for about 10 to 11 months now, and that's been very good for us. So thanks for welcoming us in. If you've not yet met us, today is the day to correct that awful, awful sin in your life. And we're part of the Henderson Gospel Community, and so that's been good for us too. Our holiday Bible talk series from Hebrews is entitled "Enduring Encouragement to the Weak and Weary." And today, as we see Hebrews 10, which Steve has greatly read part thereof, and as Steve Tilley suggested last week, it's a chapter set in a much larger context. Basically, probably starts at about verse 11 of chapter 7 and goes through to the end of this chapter. I think we weak and weary ones get spoken to today, get directed by God the Holy Spirit to give up some old sillinesses and give ourselves to some antidotes for our condition. Friends, it's a long chapter. and we have read only the guts of it. And I feel like we're not going to deal with it adequately even as we take this sermon on. So in that sense, I'm about to make you an offer that you should not refuse, or maybe you should run from. I'm happy to answer some questions after the church is over while we're having morning tea. That's not really church is over, is it? Some people say that's the best part of church, morning tea. Very much this morning, you're going to need your Bibles open, folks. It's a long chapter and we're going to follow through it. Let's pray together. Father, we come seeking your help as we deal with this chapter. Please indeed help us to do well. Open your word to us, speak to us. Encourage us, Lord, to see ourselves in it and to see most clearly the Lord Jesus. And we ask you to do this in his name. Amen. Now, I'm a try-hard. Are you a try-hard? We try-hards work consistently at getting it right, don't we? And that's so that we can be acceptable to our fellow humans and even towards God. Are you a try-hard? So that passage we just read was a bit of a blow. It pretty clearly said that trying hard, at least in particular ways, leads only to one result: failure. The passage also suggests that the try-hard method is extremely demanding, and it might be suggesting it's also pretty boring. So let me rally us all. Be a try-hard. Work hard to do this thing. It'll be demanding. It'll be boring with zero chance of achieving it. But come on, everybody, let's be a try-hard. Why isn't that winning any of you? I thought I delivered that fairly well. Friends, let's get clearer. The Hebrews 10 passage in verses 1 to 4 even states that God's law, with its commandments, ceremonies, sacrifices, priests, and feasts, is not, verse 4, an effective way to deal with your and my sins, to have them forgiven, to have our guilt taken away, and satisfaction come, to be guaranteed. At best, the old way is a shadow of the reality of the way to be right with God. Shadows are amazing things, aren't they? On a sunny day, shadows bear a resemblance of the real thing, but they are not the real thing. Shadows are not the complete revelation of the reality. At best, they are just the barest outline of the reality. And so the bad news for we tryhards is that following and working hard at following God's law, the shadow, will never take away the guilt of your and my sins and bring forgiveness, peace, freedom. Never, ever. Because the law is only a shadow of the real good thing. Fortunately, folks, the full picture that we start to get from verse 5 shows us the way pretty clearly. The law-keeping try-hard method, according to verse 9, has been set aside. Set aside for what we call the gospel, the effective reality. Instead, verses 5 to 7, God chose to equip, give God the Son a material body. And his response was, do you see it in verse 7? I have come. Where's Jesus come to? This world. I have come to do your will, O God, to sort out the sin problem. Friends, your and my sin problem. Here's a question. And what was the will of God? The answer is in verse 12. Can you see it? Come on, all you tryhards. Look deep. Try at least to see it. God the Son, this priest, offered just one sacrifice. One sacrifice. And unlike all those other shadow sacrifices of the law, etc., it was effective for all time. So much so that Jesus sat down, ceased working, ceased doing sacrifices after just one sacrifice. Let me ask another question. How do you know that was effective? Well, the Bible tells us, because he sat down at the right hand of God, the place of power and blessing. And now, verse 13, now is waiting patiently for the fulfillment of that victorious sacrifice to bring in all of its results, an effective once for all, for everything. That sacrifice, Christ's death on the cross, verse 14, was a comprehensive achievement of what it was intended to achieve. And let's we tryhards rest. Take it easy in a sense. Trusting God, that kind of rest. For we see if Jesus is our Lord and Saviour, we have been made perfect and holy in eternity and for eternity. Let me ask you one more question. No, it won't be the last one. Isn't that the best news you have ever heard? Isn't it? And friends, verses 16 and 17, this one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross comes with bonuses. And we're not talking steak knives. They that come after that time. What are they? Well, the first one is we won't have to try hard to keep God's laws. He'll make them naturally flow from us. For he will put them, these laws, in our hearts. He's going to do this. And he's going to give us that desire because they'll be in our hearts. And he's going to write them on our minds, these laws. That's he's giving knowledge. First bonus. Second bonus. Verse 17. All the wrong things of our past, your past, my past, and of our future, God will choose to not remember. And certainly not treat us as if we were what we were, sinners. He'll treat us as beloved, perfect people of his because of Jesus' effective one sacrifice. Let me say it again, and I'm expecting hearty amens everywhere. Isn't that great? The Lord Jesus does the hard yards, and you and I don't have to try hard to be saved right with God, because what he, Jesus, has done and won is far more than sufficient to correct every sin and renew everything. I'm going to go a collective whew for all of us at that point. But now what? What does our passage go on to say? I haven't finished. I'm a supporter of a particular rugby league club. Dave McPherson. Anyone know Dave McPherson? Dave McPherson. He can't turn up where I turn up and look like he's a supporter, part of the team. I can turn up at CommBank Stadium any time I like. That's a fake photo that Dave took. Because Dave's not, and you've probably been ear-bashed about this, he's not on the team. He's not part of the best team. But friends, we Christians have something far, far better than a rugby league team to be in league with. Of course, we are, verses 19 and 20, on Christ's team. His body. He has paid our dues, covered our gross inadequacies, and we can be with him in the team, part of Christ's body. And so we ought to act like we're on the team. Believe we're on the team. Look like we're on the team. And trust the Lord Jesus. Got to say at that point, bad luck, Dave McPherson. Although he's on the right team, isn't he? And trust the Lord Jesus to keep us as he has already and completely done. And accept his assurances. Therefore, verse 22, if you're on the team, confidently enter in. We've got clean hearts and actually clean bodies. Spiritually cleaned up bodies. To quote the Lord Jesus himself, we just have to have a regular quick wash of our feet every now and then. For his believing people, his team, have already been fully washed, cleaned up. Clean conscience, according to Hebrews 10. Clean body. Confidently, my friends, believe it. That is, have faith in what Jesus has done and won. And just to underline this, God says to us in verse 23, let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Why? Why? Well, it goes on. I'm going to say it in a different way. For he who promised all this keeps his promises faithfully, fully. It's really not hope the way we use the word hope, the concept. Oh, I hope Parramatta will win. It certainly is. Wait some time, and all that God promised is a certainty. It will be fully displayed and delivered. And so now, my friends, we now move to some applications. Hebrews 10 actually gives them to us. For we try hard preachers, this is a relief. I don't need to go looking for applications. The passage is actually telling me them. But the first one is, the first rubber hits the road application comes from verse 25. Encourage each other to start or keep on church service attending or Bible study DNA attending and prayer time attending and ministry doing, all of which are spurs, prods. Some people drift. Take a break, some break, and they may very well lead to them completely stopping. Won't that be embarrassing? As the Lord Jesus returns, verse 25, the day, to have to say to him be known as someone with the privilege of having his laws written on our hearts and in our minds, and having the privilege of being saved from our sins by his death, and having these sins even forgotten by him, to have stopped coming amongst his people, drifted, had a break. Wouldn't that be embarrassing and not even helpful to others, to our supposed loved ones, or ourself, or even to his reputation? So keep meeting together, often, let me say it again, often, and it will spur us on to good deeds. Try hard in this. And the second Rubber Hits the Road app also is easy peasy for preachers to find, because it's the next few verses. If we deliberately keep on sinning, you know, being arrogant, being angry, cheating on our taxes, viewing porn, gossiping, the list can go on and on, we need to ask God for and try hard ourselves to get spiritual self-control. Ask him and try ourselves. Friends, do you see where drifting, verse 29, can place you? In conflict with the Son of God, who gave up his life to deal with your sins, my sins, and make you righteous. Drifting helps you be a non-worshipper. Drifting lets you easily enter back into sinful speech and sinful actions and almost not be conscious of God and what he says. And the benefits of belonging to and in him, gone. The language is quite dramatic. Drifting away, do you see it in the passage, is trampling on the Son of God. Drifting is for burnt out tryhards who haven't really trusted God in what Jesus has achieved. And God issues a threatening warning promise to drifters. So ask him hard and covenant hard to not drift. The temptation to drift, it will come to you. As Ian fessed up at the start of the service, he's been there. Well, if it's happened to Cootsy, what's the chance of the rest of us got? It will come to you. But it's best to know and have the drift antidote close handy for regular administering to yourself and perhaps for help with others. I am a bit of a tryhard. I'm trying hard these days to be a gentleman young farmer, or to look in the mirror and see the reality on the young bit at least. A couple of months ago, my doc took a scalpel to my skin cancer on my leg, got it out, sent it off and away to pathology, put 9 stitches in the cut he made, sent me home with instructions, 2 of them. Rest up, keep the bandage dry. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Rest up, keep the bandage dry. But I'm a try-hard gentleman farmer who thinks he's young and knows best. And that afternoon, as I looked out the window of ours, I saw cattle where I had been waiting for them to be for two or three days. There they were. So what do you do when you're a try-hard? You don't listen to the wise word. Why would you do that? You go out. You kick-start the Ag 175. Did that break the stitch? And then you go out into the wet, weedy, leg-pulling, grabbing paddock. Was it that reduced my stitches back to 8 or more? Well, we got the cattle moved. That was the important thing, wasn't it? That night at DNA, Nathan says, there's blood running down your leg. He wasn't exaggerating. Very observant, Nathan. It had run down my leg and turned my white sock red and made a puddle on Greg and Isabel's, thankfully, timber floor. Well, thank goodness for Luca. He applied his nursing skills. But in the end, it was Miles and Luca's driving skills that got me out of trouble. At the ER, good old Lismore Base. Late night home from DNA that night, let me tell you. I think they looked and said, the idiot did this himself. He can be last on the list. A long process, 7 to 8 weeks of healing before the large crater on my leg was all sealed up. It's best to remember not to be a tryhard. And that is true even more so in religious things. Don't be a deceiver of yourself, but instead to remember, firstly, what Christ has done. And secondly, see what the passage says, folks, verse 32, your second best antidote to drifting is remembering where and when you've already done this standing for him in the past. Even when there was ridicule and insults flying and perhaps worse. And even remembering way back when you, well, maybe not so far back, when you supported your Christian brothers and sisters and when the same things were happening to them. So the second rubber hits the road app is do be a tryhard to keep meeting and keep remembering and keep staying faithful to Christ and his people. Be a full Christ team supporter. Because that will stop you, yeah, that will stop you being at in odds with God. And the third rubber hits the road app for today is a mental recall one, a good theology one. Remind yourself, verse 37, that very soon the Lord Jesus is coming. Coming to obviously reign and to judge. I got more questions. How often do we look and listen and feel what is going on in our surrounds for that moment, and forget that what is will not last, not forever, actually not for long. Christ is coming to cause everything to be so much better, great, new. So, why would you keep missing church? Why would you keep avoiding your GC? Why would you be half-hearted about Christ? Why would you have no hope? He who is coming will come and will not delay. So you and I, friends, are to stay trusting Christ and what he's done and won, and know the theology. He will be and is the ruler. No shrinking back, no drifting. Let me read for us again the final verse of this passage. But we are not of those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and obtain life. Will you pray with me now to the great and the one true God? And after I've finished voicing some things for us and with us, I encourage you in the silence to do business with God and confess your drifting, confess your temptation, and covenant in that silence to not shrink back, to stay faithful in heart and in mind and in words and in your actions with each of us. And then someone's going to come and pray Is that you, Steve? No, who is it? Ah. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you thankful. You have saved us if we put our trust in you. You have saved us through the Lord Jesus. And you have made our salvation easy for us. Thank you, Father God. Jesus has done the hard yards and won the victory. Ours is to put our trust in him. Help us, Lord. Call us each day to trust you and to grow in that trust. Help us, Lord, to consciously decide, covenant, to be on your team, in your body. And Lord, please stop us from falling for the temptation to aimlessly drift. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.